to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Saturday, March the 21st. I am your host, Mike, and we got a great show for you today in the podcast. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Frank the Tank from Barstool Sports. Frank the Tank is a diehard Miami Dolphins super fan, a lifelong fan of the Miami Dolphins, and we talk about all the hot topics surrounding the team. We talk about the free agent signings from this past week. We talk about Brian Flores. We talk about the upcoming draft, and we cover it all. So for those of you who are avid readers of Barstool Sports, you're going to be in for a treat. Frank the Tank, join me for a few minutes today to talk about all things Miami Dolphins. And, you know, if you do listen to the show with your children, this podcast, I will warn you, there might be an F-bomb or two that's dropped, so you've been warned. But Frank the Tank, great guy and a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan. But that'll be later on in the show. A couple things first. Since we last spoke, you know, things have quieted down on the free agent front here for the Dolphins. They really haven't made any more signings since we last spoke on Thursday. They did make one move where they re-signed one of their own. They re-signed safety Adrian Colbert to a one-year, $1.7 million contract. Colbert played 361 snaps last year, and he started like the last five games of the year at safety, and he actually played well. So Adrian Colbert was re-signed and brought back to Miami, and, you know, as we've been saying, safety is one of the areas on the Miami Dolphins that's, you know, a little bit more thin than some other areas. So they need help at safety. Colbert was a capable body at the end of last year. Is he a long-term answer? No. Is he an answer heading into 2020? No. But he's a guy who will, you know, has a very good chance to make this team in 2020. Probably not as a starter, but to provide some depth at safety. So we'll see what Miami, if they have any more moves here in free agency. Look, they were a very busy team earlier in the week, and they signed a lot of guys. I think they signed the most guys out of any team in the league. I'm not sure if that's still true. I know as of a couple days ago it was. But, you know, there's still a couple guys out there who could help this team. I still think they should sign an offensive tackle. Not even and when I say that, I don't mean someone to start, because there's nobody out there who can start right now who's on the open market. But a backup swing offensive tackle, that would be nice to see here. As we sort of then shift our focus to the NFL draft. I know there's been a ton of reports out there, probably in the past 48 hours, on, you know, should the Miami Dolphins or are the Miami Dolphins interested in just trading up to the number one overall pick? Because if you're going to trade up to number three or trade up to number two, then you might as well just trade up to number one. And, you know, there's been reports from Jeff Darlington on ESPN saying Miami would love to. It's really up to Cincinnati if they're even open to accepting any trade. There's been reports from, obviously, Armando Salguero. There's been reports from some other places as well saying that Miami is very much interested in just trading up to number one and selecting Joe Burrow. We're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks, obviously. But as I stated at the end of the podcast on Thursday night, if you're the Dolphins, this 20-year search, you know, this is the time where you can't settle for your second or third option. And if you're going to part with a bunch of picks to go from 5 to 3, you might as well part with an extra pick or two and just go from 5 to 1 and get the guy you really want. That's the way I feel. You know, this quarterback search that's been going on since Dan Marino retired 20 years ago or so, it really does. You have to go all in. And I know there's a lot of fans who say, well, not every superstar quarterback's picked number one overall. It's not about that. This is about the Miami Dolphins and how they're going to find and get the guy they want. So I know you can get a good quarterback late in round one or round two or round three. Yes, that's 100% accurate. But when you're the Dolphins in the situation they're in, as an organization, who have been searching since 1999 and who's lived with, you know, people like John Beck, you know, Pat White, Chad Henne, Ryan Tannehill, you know, and all the other guys who stunk that they went out there when they made trades for AJ Feely. I mean, stuff like just bad move after bad pick after bad move after bad pick. And they've just, you know, whiffed on each and every one of these guys. It's time to just go all in. That's the way I feel. We'll talk about this here in the coming weeks in the lead up to the draft. Almost a month from today. It's a month and 2 days. So the draft will be here before we know it. One thing before we get to Frank the Tank, and I have this up on the website, so go to the main page of DolphinsTalk.com. Look, right now in America, it's a tough time. Everything going on here with this coronavirus. But if you have a couple bucks, our friends who organized the MetLife Takeover, Igor, we've had him on the podcast numerous times. He's the founder of the MetLife Takeover. He organizes the MetLife Takeover. He does, you know, so much work to put that whole event together each and every year for when the Miami Dolphins play the Jets. I know many of you who are listening go to that event and have a blast. The Miami Dolphins Bar in New York City, where that sort of began, and where, you know, each and every Sunday, it's the, you know, probably the most famous Miami Dolphins bar on planet Earth. Slattery's Midtown Pub in New York City. You know, they have 10 employees there, and they're all out of work because of the New York State mandate, because of the coronavirus has hit New York State especially hard, with the most cases out of all the states in the United States. And all the bars and restaurants have been shut down for everyone's safety. And they've been shut down. You got 10 employees that are out of work. And Igor is trying to do something to get those employees just a couple bucks so they can help survive until they get their next paycheck, which might not be for many, many weeks or months. Nobody knows. So if you got a couple bucks, even if it's $1, you can PayPal that to Igor, the organizer of the MetLife Takeover. He's going to take all the money and divide it 10 ways and give a little bit to each of the employees that are there at Slattery's Midtown Pub. Again, it's the most famous Miami Dolphins bar. They are great people there. They put up with a bunch of crazy Miami Dolphins fans every Sunday throughout the NFL season. And it's the hub for the MetLife Takeover. It really is. So even if you got a dollar, you can PayPal that to DolphinsNYC, DolphinsNYC@gmail.com. I have all the information up at DolphinsTalk.com. Again, I know it's tough times for a lot of people, but like I said, any little bit you can give, even $1, even $2, if you can give more, great. If you can't, we'll take the buck. Just to help out the 10 employees there who are right now out of work with no money coming in. So just wanted to mention that. If you can do anything, great. And it would be really, really appreciated. So that's all I got right now. Right now I'm going to take a quick break. And after the break, we'll be joined by Frank the Tank from Barstool Sports to talk all things Miami Dolphins. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one stop for all things Miami Dolphins. With news, commentary, video, interviews, and the Webby Award-winning DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast, DolphinsTalk.com has you covered on all of the latest happenings surrounding the Miami Dolphins. Whether it's training camp, the draft, free agency, or the current Miami Dolphins season, DolphinsTalk.com has it covered. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to visit the website DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. That's DolphinsTalk.com.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Frank Fleming, Frank the Tank from Barstool Sports. He's a diehard fan of the Miami Dolphins. Frank, how are you doing today?
I'm struggling like everyone else is in this damn fucking COVID, coronavirus, whatever the fuck, China virus.
I know. Every time I turn on the news. Yeah. Every time I turn on the news, it's so depressing. It seems like it's getting worse, and you're just looking for that ray of sunshine, just a ray of light to hopefully, just not be so depressing, but it's crazy right now.
Yeah, I actually had to go to the courthouse today to do work, so.
Yeah.
So I may not be working that much, but it's crazy. There's no communication. Nobody really knows what's going on. It's just a mess.
It is. Well, let's talk about some Miami Dolphins and sports in general, just to get our minds off of everything else. Now, you're at Barstool Sports. How long have you been with them?
3 years.
3 years. How did you get tied in with them? What's your story? How did they find you?
I had that viral video when the trains went haywire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I talked to them on one of the shows there, the KFC show, and next thing you know, they said that I'm a part-time blogger.
Awesome. And from there, it's sort of taken off. Now, I know your boss over there, El Presidente, is a big fan of the Patriots. How's he taking the loss of Tom Brady? Have you had a chance to speak with him since this all has sort of gone down?
I've seen some of his videos. I think he's a little down, but I think he knows in the end that it was time.
Yeah, it was time. And I also think that the Patriots' reign, you know, it's over. They're just another team now in the AFC. They are not the Patriots anymore. Yes, they have a great head coach. Nobody's taking it away from them. But without Tom Brady, there's a big piece that they cannot replace.
Yeah, I think the Patriots might be better than the Buccaneers, but I don't think if the Patriots get a decent enough quarterback, I think they'll find a way to maybe win 10 games again.
Yeah.
I think the Buccaneers are going to be very disappointed with Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady won't make the playoffs in Tampa.
That would not shock me. Look, he is going to be 43 years old. I mean, 43 years old. I don't care what he's doing with his diet. I don't care what he does with his workouts. 43 is 43, and he's the same age as me. And I wake up every day, you know, with aches and pains that I'm sure he's having. It's just there comes a point where you know, father time will just, you know, slow you down to a point where you can't perform at the same level anymore.
Yep. And I personally think that we started seeing hit the wall this year, and him going to Tampa was only one thing, to get paid.
Exactly.
And he paid handsomely.
Yep, and he got paid big time with the deal with $50 million, all guaranteed, it looks like. So big payday for him. Talking about the Miami Dolphins, your favorite team, my favorite team, Brian Flores heading into year two. Last year, you know, no expectations. Nobody expected them to win a game. Everyone thought they were going to go like 0-16, 1-15. They end up winning 5. And Flores, you know, even on a 5-11 season, everyone's praising him. He's sort of the toast of the town. What are your thoughts overall on Brian Flores here as he heads into year two as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins?
It looks like he's actually impressed enough people. But I think he's actually helping them draw these free agents that they're getting, especially Kyle Ganoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Seems very well respected. Seems like there's a lot of guys who want to play for him. And, you know, it seems like for the first time in a long time, because as you know, I don't have to explain to you, we've had a lot of bad head coaches for the Miami Dolphins, whether it was Joe Philbin, Cam Cameron, Tony Sparano was likable, but, you know, he wasn't no Lombardi by any means. It seems like we finally have a coach who has a clue what the modern game of football is at this time, and he knows how to talk to players, how to relate to players, and he knows how to coach them up.
We started with Dave Wannstedt, who is the substitute teacher.
Yep.
Then we had Nick Payton, who destroyed the franchise. Cam Cameron, who the fuck? I mean, I've never. He has to go down in the history as one of the worst coaches of all time.
Yes, absolutely.
Then Sparano, of course, and then Joe Philbin was in over his head. They gave him they put the Dolphins on Hard Knocks his first season, and that just like set the whole tone for his like failures.
He was picking up gum wrappers. Who cares if there's a gum wrapper on the floor? Coach the damn team. Don't worry about the gum wrappers. They got a guy to pick that up.
And then, of course, Adam Gase, who's going to absolutely take the Jets down.
I can't take him.
He is a guy that's just built to alienate people.
Yes. He's got a face you want to punch. He really does. He's one of them guys. He's got a face you want to punch. I cannot take him. You mentioned this week with the free agents, and Miami was really busy. They were really busy. They signed a bunch of guys, as they should have. They had almost $100 million to spend, and they needed to bring in some talented players. I'm going to run through just a couple of names, not all of them, just a couple, and tell me your thoughts and if you're happy with the signing. The first one I'll name is the one they paid the most money to, which is cornerback Byron Jones from the Cowboys. You put him opposite Xavier Howard now, and it looks like the secondary is going to be something most teams won't want to mess with. What are your thoughts on the Jones signing?
I think that's a very good signing. The secondary is now an important position, and I think that's probably the best corner that was out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And with him and Howard, you know, that's a nice 1-2 punch. It sort of reminds a lot of fans of the days of Surtain and Madison when we had two very good cornerbacks, and it made it fun to watch them, you know, get the interceptions, you know, shut down opponents' passing games. And obviously with Howard, hopefully he's not suspended for his little off-the-field incident he had this year. It should be fun to watch in 2020, those two locking up against opponents' wide receiver. Kyle Van Noy, someone you mentioned, I'm a big fan of his. I think putting him next to Raekwon and Baker sort of fills out that linebacker core. What do you think of Kyle Van Noy?
I love that signing. He's just someone that just clogs the whole field up. Just a defensive monster. And I think he was a big reason. I think he has a big reason why the Patriots had such a good year last year. It was defense. And Kyle, every time I seem to watch him, Kyle Van Noy was making a big play.
Yeah, absolutely. He had 6.5 sacks last year. And he's one of those guys, as I was saying on our podcast this week, who sometimes he can do a little bit of everything. He can rush the quarterback. He can head back into space. And if he has to cover a tight end or a running back, he can do that. He can stop the run. And he it seems like he's always around the play, and he can do things that might not even show up in the stat sheet. He's just one of those guys who's, I like to call, a winning player, and just makes big plays when you need it. And whatever you ask him to do, he can do it well.
Yeah, like I said, he clogs the whole middle. He clogs everything up. He's good at stopping the run game. He's good at rushing the passer. Everything you need on defense, he could do.
Yep, absolutely. Shaq Lawson from the Bills. Miami's ends last year on that defensive line were, you know, not very good at all. And they signed two. Shaq Lawson first from the Bills. Not known much for his sacks and stuff, but he can stop the run fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, it did almost every move they made was really good.
Yep, and also and with Emmanuel Ogbile as well, just another end there, and he can get more after the quarterback. But the last one I want to mention was on the other side of the ball on offense, Ted Karras at center with Ereck Flowers. Miami's offensive line has been hot garbage for years, it's awful. And
Ted Karras. He might be a good pickup, but, oh, my God, Ereck Flowers is a disaster. He sucks. I mean, I'd rather have the potted pant of Flowers than Ereck Flowers. Ereck Flowers, I've seen revolving doors put up a better block than Ereck Flowers does.
Yeah, he struggled with the Giants mightily when they were asking him to play right tackle and left tackle. Last year with the Redskins, he moved into guard, and he was okay. I mean, look, he's still Ereck Flowers. Nobody's going to mistake him for a Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Nobody's saying that. But at guard, he was pretty good last year, and hopefully that continues. Because if he plays like he did with Washington, that's fine. If he plays like he did with the Giants, we're in trouble. But they needed to do something with that offensive line, because that offensive line's been so bad for so many years.
I mean, Ereck Flowers scares me.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yep. Heading into the draft, obviously the four quarterbacks everyone sort of talks about heading in round one, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, and Jordan Love. Which one would you like to see Miami to get? Because there's rumors with them with all four of those guys, and you don't know who to believe, you know, if they're going to trade up to one, trade up to two, trade up to three, stay at five.
If they could pry that number one away from Cincinnati, I think you do it.
I do too. I said that the other day. It's we've wasted 20 years trying to find the next quote-unquote Marino. And not saying any of these guys are like that, but it's time to stop settling for our second choice or our third choice. We have all these picks, and we got all these picks for a reason. If they are in love, which I don't know if they are, but if they are in love with Joe Burrow, then, you know, part with as many picks as you got to part with. Let's solve this problem once and for all.
Because we got 14 of them.
I know.
14 of them in the first round.
We got six in the first 70. That's a lot. Six in the first 70 is a lot. There's got to be, not to mention, two first-rounders next year and two second-rounders next year. If they can't come up with a package to make Cincinnati happy in some way, shape, or form, then Cincinnati's really stupid, number one. But two, it's just time to end this. And if they do love Joe Burrow, which from all reports they seem to, then just go get him. Just make it happen. Yep. Because without the quarterback, you got nothing.
And I wouldn't mind Tua.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
If you get Tua, you're likely going to have him redshirt.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what's good with Fitzpatrick. There really is no rush for whoever they draft to play right away. Fitzpatrick will play the year or half a year or whatever. He can play. And then when you're ready to put in whoever they draft, you can just slide him in. Because Fitzpatrick, look, he ended the year last year playing well. I mean, I'm not the biggest Ryan Fitzpatrick fan in the world, but those final, you know, six, seven games, he played well. I mean, so you have him for one more year. You might as well use him and bring along, especially if it's Tua with the hip, because you just don't know. And it sounds like they're not going to know because you can't fly anybody in for a workout or to meet with a doctor. So that would be the thing if it's with him. I mean, with any of these guys, I think Fitzpatrick's probably going to start the first part of the year, though.
Yeah. Now, Jordan Love, he could be a steal in the later round, later first round, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, if they like him, I think he's actually better than Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert reminds me of Joey Harrington. I don't want to touch him.
Justin Herbert scares a lot of people, and I can see why, because, you know, he looks the part. He's a tall kid, strong kid, got the big arm. But you watch the games, you watch the tape, you watch all of his stuff from Oregon, there's just something missing, and I get why he scares you. He scares me a little bit. He scares a lot of people, just like there's something missing, and it's tough to even put your finger on it. It's just like there's something missing, sort of that X factor that some of these guys have when they play quarterback and some of them don't have when they play quarterback. And, yeah, I can see that with Herbert. I don't know what they're going to do. I think no matter what, they're going to have to trade up. Because you got the Chargers now picking one spot behind them who also need a quarterback. So they're going to trade up to one, two, or three Miami. They have to.
They definitely have to start looking and trying to make that move. Because Justin Herbert scares me. Jake Fromm scares me. Jake Fromm, I think, is going to be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I also don't like the kid from Oklahoma either. I know some people like love Hurts from Oklahoma. I don't want nothing to do with Jalen Hurts either. Look, we put ourselves in this spot. We have to come away, in my opinion, with either Joe Burrow or the kid from Alabama. There's just no way around it. They have to get one of those two, and I don't care how they do it. No excuses. They have to do it.
Yeah.
Now
this is the year. They have to be aggressive in the draft.
They have to be aggressive
in the free agency market, but they have to now be aggressive in the draft.
Yep. Now, they have a bunch of picks. And even if they trade some away, they're still going to have a bunch of picks because they have so many. Aside from quarterback, putting that aside for a second, what are your other one or two spots on the team you want to see them really focus on in the draft?
I'd like to get a running back. Maybe add another lineman.
Oh, yeah. I think a left tackle.
And go either linebacker or another defensive back.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. They signed Jordan Howard at running back, who's a nice player, but they need someone else to pair with him. Jordan Howard, if you expect him to be the guy for all 16 games, he'll get hurt at some point. They need a youngster to go with him. Left tackle, they don't have a left tackle on their team right now, who's any good at least. So, yeah, I think there. And, yeah, I think also safety is something to look at because I don't like Bobby McCain at safety. I think he's a little too small for that role. I'd rather have them move him back to cornerback and find a real safety to put there with Eric Rowe. Be nice.
Yeah, I like that. I wouldn't mind them getting a hybrid type of player that could play safety or linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, last year in 2019, I know there was, you know, amongst fans of the Dolphins, there was that big debate. Should you root for him just to go 0-16 and just lock up that top pick? Who cares? We're not any good anyways. But some fans, they just couldn't do it. And no matter what, they were like, I don't care where we pick. I just want the team to win. And they rooted for him to win. And if that means they're picking, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, they didn't care. Where were you last year in 2019? I know it's tough to root against your own team.
I started out wanting to tank.
Yeah.
But the more I saw how they played for Flores, the more I want them to win.
I think a lot of fans are that way. I think they started off, especially after weeks 1 and 2, when they got their doors blown off by the Ravens and Patriots. I think most fans are like, just lose them all. I don't care at this point. But then as the year went on, you're like, this team's kind of fun to root for, and they're very likable with a bunch of nobodies. And people were just starting to root for them to win naturally, I think.
Yeah, especially after Josh Rosen, they ended that experiment.
Yep. Yeah. That, that was the Washington game, I believe. It was his last game, and he never saw the field again. Which sort of takes you back to that trade. Why did they even make that trade last year? Because they didn't even give him a chance after that game to even put him out there, even in garbage time, just to get a few snaps at the end of a game. They never gave him a chance again, which, you know, looking back now, 1 year later, it's like, why did they make that trade?
Never. A lot of people were, even when he was in the draft, were concerned about his heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And it'll be interesting to see if they can – trade him and even get a 6th or 7th round pick for him at this point. Cause if they take a quarterback at 5, or if they have to move up in round 1, you know, they have him, they have Fitzpatrick. There's really no need for Rosen. I wonder if there's even a market to get a 6th or 7th rounder for him, or if they're just going to have to let him go.
That would surprise me.
I think they'll just have to let him go, honestly.
Yeah. I think that's eventually what's going to happen.
Yeah. Heading into 2020, this is obviously a very young roster for the Miami Dolphins. Some of the guys who are already on the team, not anybody that they just signed this week, some of the guys that are already here, who are a few guys that you're really looking forward to seeing them improve and continue to improve this upcoming year?
Well, I'm looking forward to whoever to get a quarterback, that's for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing what Kyle Van Noy can do. I'm looking forward to seeing what steps forward they could take under Brian Flores. I think the first year was a learning curve, and now I think you're going to see even more improvement next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to see the tight end Mike Gesicki, who had a little bit of a breakout year last year.
That guy ended up being making so many big catches, especially at the
big
end of
catches.
The year.
And I think one more year, I think he's got. I mean, I think he's on. He's on the brink for a breakout year. I mean, he sort of – last year he had a year where he sort of made some plays and made a name for himself. I think the sky is the limit with him, and if he continues to improve, he could be a real factor in that passing game this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, with him and Parker too. He had a nice year last year, Parker, finally. After 5 years, he finally showed up.
It's about damn time.
He finally showed up and started making some plays. So – those are some of the guys who I think really could be in store for a big year this year. As we wrap up here, you look at the AFC East, and I know it's still early. We haven't had the draft yet, and there's still some guys out there to be signed because we're only 1 week into free agency. You look at the Jets, you look at the Bills, you look at the Patriots, you look at Miami. Where do you see Miami and how they rank inside the AFC East? Obviously, they're a very young team. They're still improving. But you look at the AFC East, and you got the Jets. You know, they're pretty much equal to Miami right now, I'd say, but obviously they have a head coach who's a train wreck. You look at the Patriots, they don't have a quarterback they can trust. Then you got the Bills, who everyone's, you know, most of the people now in the media, they love the Bills. The Bills, the Bills. All you hear about is the Bills, which tells me one thing. They're in store for a letdown this year, because when everybody loves them in the media, you know, the next thing you know, they're going to fall on their face. Where do you see the AFC East in 2020, and where do you see Miami?
I think the Bills were got helped by an easy schedule last year.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be a different next year. They don't have an offense. I think that the Dolphins have a chance to make a run for 8-8.
I'm there with you. I think they could fight for a wild card spot. And since they added a wild card spot this year, there's going to be three wild cards. I don't think it's crazy to see them, you know, maybe not go, you know, 10-6 or stuff, but they can make a run for maybe their final wild card spot in the AFC. I don't think that's unreasonable, especially when you look back to how they finished 2019, and then you look at all the guys that they've already added so far. I mean, the talent on defense is greatly improved right now, greatly improved, night and day, to almost the point where they have.
And we both know Adam Gase will implode in New York.
Absolutely. This will be his last year with the Jets. There is no chance he will survive beyond this year. The guy is a walking time bomb. He can't handle the media. This whole thing, how he can coach up the quarterback spot, I don't know where that narrative ever came from. Well, with Peyton Manning it did, but he has done nothing to prove it right. He can't get along with superstar players. He's always fighting with guys down in Miami. He's fighting with Landry, fighting with Jay Ajayi, fighting with this one, fighting with that one. Couldn't get along with anybody. And it's just a matter of time before he implodes with the Jets. The Jets, to me, are a walking time bomb. They are. They're going to blow up this year, I think. And they had a bad week this week. Everyone that they wanted, they missed out on. They wanted Joe Thuney from the Patriots. He gets tagged. They wanted Van Noy. He comes to Miami. They wanted the offensive lineman. What's that?
Because the word is out. Nobody wants to play for him.
All these players talk. They all have the same agents. They talk and they share information. Nobody wants to play for Adam Gase. He can't get along with people, period. And the Jets are screwed.
Yeah, I think the Jets are going to go like 5-11, and it's going to be and it's going to be everyone else is going to be to blame but him, and then it's going to finally they're going to fire him, and then we'll see what he bring in.
Absolutely, yeah, because it's always somebody else's fault. He will throw anybody under the bus any chance he gets, because that's what he did all of his time in Miami. Frank, thanks so much for a few moments of your time. Everyone, be sure to follow Frank Fleming, Frank the Tank, on Twitter at New Jersey Tank 99, NJ Tank 99, and check out all of his work over at Barstool Sports. Frank, thanks so much, and we'll have you on again down the road once we get some sports back football back.
Be good.
Yeah. Put a chance to talk about some games, hopefully.
Hopefully that'll be soon.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Soon is right. You have a good one, Frank.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.